Welcome to the Tossing Clubs podcast. Next on the tee, your hosts, Frank Jang, Zach Moses, and Aaron Tan.
Yo, what is up, everyone? This is a brand new Tossing Clubs for the brand new year of 2024. This is Frank, there's Zach, and there's Aaron. For the first time in what it feels like forever, all three of us are here. And just want to say Happy New Year's, guys. Are we excited for the 2024 golf season?
Happy New Year. Yeah. Has it been like a month since all three of us have been here together? I think it's been at least a month.
Yeah, probably about a month. It feels nice to be back. I feel like we haven't talked about... I just feel like we haven't been talking about golf together because we haven't been doing it as three people on the podcast, so...
Yeah, I noticed the Century Tournament of Champions started today, and I was not really expecting that. And I feel like if we were together every week talking about it, we definitely would have been ready for that.
The Century is like the perfect start, though, to the year. And it's like well-timed with the three of us being back on the pod... 2024, Kapalua.
Or is it because the whole sneaking up on you thing? Because it snuck up on me too. Is it because golf is declining? I seriously think that's a possibility, which is something we can discuss. But I found out about the Century Tournament of Champions because I looked on Prize Picks, and then I saw you could bet on golf, and I thought, wow, this is incredible. I've been trying to convert Zach to, you know, sign up for Prize Picks. Aaron, I know you got your betting gambling solution.
Dude, I've turned down invites to Prize Picks recently.
What is what's the selling point on Prize Picks? Like, why is it just because that's like the only legal thing you can do in California?
I think it's that. I'm not sure if, for example, Sleeper, you could put bets on. Basically, you just play fantasy sports on it, and then you're right, it is available in California, and it's so heavily advertised now that I can't unsee it or unhear it in the podcast that I listen to. But the UI is pretty quick, it's pretty easy to sign up, but it's funny, it's really difficult to withdraw your money. So
it's like you can bet on just like LeBron James points, just like all these prop bets, right?
Yeah, I love prop bets. So today we bet on Tom Kim under 68.5, Morikawa under 68. They both hit. That $5 turned into 13.75.
There you go.
And then we're gonna keep it rolling, you know. So
wait, who's we?
Who's we? You got a team behind you laying sports bets this year?
Yeah, so a guy we both know, Evan Kawahara, he's actually the guy who got me into Prize Picks, and he's been sending me all these bets. Dude, he does his research, man. So
I mean, as a past Tossing Clubs champion, I'm not surprised Evan Kawahara is all on golf stuff and making some nice picks
also
on your behalf.
Multiple fantasy football league champion, including this year, so he's got the gambling down.
Exactly.
I feel like at Kapalua, you could have bet almost anybody to go under par, like deep under par, and would have hit. The scores, you see the scores today?
Yeah, -9, -8, yeah.
Like 9 under? Is Kapalua, I know we talked about this last year, but is Kapalua a joke?
Dude, I don't know how we've played it. It's a hard course. I don't know what it is about it that the PGA Tour pros just love.
It looks windy too. Like, I know the fairways are big, but you still got to make putts and hit it close.
I'm just going to say this shows how good these professionals are, and especially how much better they are at putting, because when they're within 6 to 10 feet, you almost expect them to make it at Kapalua because the greens are so big. Certainly, there are undulations, but they're definitely not rolling as fast as some of the other courses on tour, and they're definitely... relatively more flat than some of the other courses as well. So it's just crazy to see all these putts go in. It's not like they're sticking it close every time. They're their short game is just really good.
Yeah.
There's probably also just so many opportunities with like the hills on the fairways to just like, if you hit a certain spot, like a speed slot or like a downhill, you can get like massive distance off the tee, and tour players are just accurate enough that they can take advantage of those too.
I don't have the stat in front of me, but I was reading something about the amount of long drives that like happened during this tournament relative to other ones. Like if you look at like the top 50 longest drives of the year, like the majority of them happen at Kapalua, because you have like great weather, these huge hills that you're talking about, Aaron, wind can be like super helpful, and yeah, you have like 450 yard drives. Like you remember the one where who was it? Like Dustin Johnson like drives the green and puts it like right next to the hole, or like the sixth or seventh hole or something, I don't know. But Kapalua bombers just dominate there.
Yeah, Kapalua starts off the new golf season, and it is the first opportunity to see new equipment and apparel. So for the first day, there wasn't a lot of new Kapalua Hawaii-specific apparel. Maybe that is something that they'll roll out in the later days, but generally every year I remember there's some sick prints out there from all of the major brands. What I did notice, though, is there's some new golf equipment. Colin Morikawa, he is very particular about his driver. He's been using the Sim 2 instead of the Stealth and the Stealth 2 for the past couple of years. But this year, he brought out the Qi 10, guys. The TaylorMade Qi. I think it's pronounced Qi 10, like cheating, like a play on words. Dude, their marketing branch, dude, you got to talk to them. I don't know about this naming convention, but the QI10, he busted out today and he shot 8 under par with no bogeys.
What was their ridiculous slogan last year for the Stealth? It was like
forgiveness.
Yeah, forgiveness. And now they followed it up with cheating driver. What in the world? Well, that's nice to see Colin playing it though. That was kind of like a slap in the face to the Stealth series when he was just not hitting it and playing the old Sims. So nice to see the new clubs out there. What do you guys, any predictions around who's going to have like the hottest equipment this year?
Man, I think everyone wants to see what Titleist, I don't know if Titleist is going to play out a new driver this year. It seems like it's always the timelines are a little bit different from the other major brands, but I think the TSR and the TSIs, they just look so sleek, look so nice. With the TaylorMade Stealth series, there were some questions about the durability. A lot of faces have, flown off. So for me, it's definitely Titleist.
I'm excited to see the Callaway Paradigm AI Smoke driver, because the Paradigm was definitely like one of the most talked about / like used and bought drivers last year. And, improving on that, it's just, how good can it be?
Well, AI, the hottest topic in the world right now. I'm curious, AI. Like what they did behind the scenes with AI to make this new driver. That will be interesting to learn a bit more.
It's got to be marketing.
Oh, for sure. They've said they've been using AI since the Epic Flash, where they simulate how the ball comes off the face at, at different patterns of like face hits, right? Hits on the face. So I think they just say that they're doing it again. They're technically not wrong, right?
Man.
But I do see some new pictures for the Paradigm AI Smoke. Photos are out, and I think you guys have seen them too. What are your initial impressions?
Coloring looks kind of weird to me, but I thought the same thing about the Paradigm last year when it first came out. It's, I don't know, something about like the initial pictures that come out, it's like, what is this pattern? Like, what is going on? But I'm guessing in real life, it's a little more subtle.
Yeah, I feel like they're always a bit lighter or just like more blue when you see it in the pictures. And then you see it in person, it's just like like you said, a subtle blue that's like kind of hidden in there and looks really nice. I actually like the look of this new smoke thing. Just looks forgiving, which is like definitely a
how does it look for
the club, like looking down at the club head, you know, like you look down at a club head and sometimes it just like looks nice at setup and sometimes it looks like shit, I'm not gonna be able to hit this. And I remember looking down at my old Nike driver and I was like, I can't hit this thing. But then you put something else in front of you. I think Callaway just has a nice, Callaway and Titleist have nice like at address looks to their club heads.
Yeah.
And that, I like this one.
That was one of the big reasons I didn't get the Stealth, because it looked so different and I couldn't get used to
it. It's like it feels slightly off center, like the TaylorMade drivers. I remember testing them and I was like, why is the circle not on the middle of the club base? It's like slightly towards like towards the inside. And then you get used to it after a few swings. But I agree with you. I think it's just not as traditional, some of the TaylorMade setups.
What I miss from the Paradigm is the shape. It looks like the new AI Smoke driver doesn't have that speed slot hump thing, that shape at the bottom of the driver, which I think looks pretty sick and helps differentiate it from all the other drivers out there. But I mean, overall, I don't know, the blue on the light blue on black. Yeah, I feel like it. Maybe it's just because I haven't seen it in person, but it does look a little bit different for me.
I think my prediction on all these new drivers is they're not going to be very different from the previous years, which has kind of been the trend over the last 3-4 years. I just don't know how these companies can put out a new driver every 12 months and say this is like the new best, biggest thing. It's going to hit the ball so much further and straighter. So I think it's going to be a lot of the same. But if you like haven't bought a driver in 5 to 10 years, maybe it's time to upgrade.
Yeah. Aaron, when you were getting fitted for a driver, did you have the option to buy last year's driver?
I think I did. I think I just ruled it out because I was like, I'm getting a new driver. I'm going to spend a bunch of money anyways. I may as well just get like the latest and greatest. But yeah, I think I could have gotten at least 1 year back.
Oh, I didn't. Okay. I thought you might have been forced to get the latest and greatest, the newest one, which is sort of like an under the table handshake between fitters and brand manufacturers. But
it was definitely more limited. Like when I was taking lessons at Golf Tech and you could get fittings there, and they had like agreements with certain manufacturers and, you know, whatever. So there was more limitations there. But when I got my driver, it was at Club Champion, and I think they just have like everything. So they had some older models too.
I see. Well, you know what else is new? Like another year, another model year. It's wedges, and specifically the Titleist Vokey wedges. Now you might think, wow, another driver. This is the same shit over and over again. Well, let me tell you what, nothing compares to wedges, because wedges, you really can't do anything. They're literally just restamped every year. And in the front, it's the same thing. So, you know, I look at the SM10. It looks like it looks so close to the SM9. But Jordan Spieth is playing with the SM10 at Kapalua. And I think he shot 8 under. So maybe it's worth working for him.
Well, I think the thing about wedges is you actually, like, the grooves get messed up, especially if you play a ton. So it actually makes sense to replace your wedges. Maybe for us that, you know, we're only playing 30 rounds a year. You don't need to replace them every year, but you get that nice extra spin. Don't you want that nice check on the green, Frank?
Yeah, okay. He shot 7 under, but yes, I do want that nice check. So this is something where, man, just give me last year's model. And maybe
that's what I was going to say.
Maybe if I had foresight and I want that check and I want to hit those flop shots and I want to hit those spinners, I just buy a bunch of SM9s right now. But, you know, I don't play enough to do that.
Yeah, I think it does make sense, at least for me, to go just like brand new wedge, but like, an old model versus like the brand new model and spending up for that.
While we're on the topic of equipment related, I have a pretty kind of a hot take here, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts on clothing for 2024. I think Nike Golf is just going to fall off a cliff this year. I think Tiger Woods is basically out. I mean, he's still wearing his FootJoys. He hasn't officially announced that he's out of Nike, but I just feel like the day's coming pretty soon. You saw Jason Day this week, hopped on to Malbon, left Nike. And I just feel like golf is not a priority for that company. They probably aren't making much money. They don't make clubs anymore anyways. I mean, yeah, like everyone has a Nike golf polo, but it just doesn't seem like a focus for them. So I could see a lot of those golfers on the Nike team slowly dropping off, especially if Tiger goes first, because he's such a huge name.
Yeah, I could see that. It seems like, yeah, they'd really have to fall off a cliff because there's a lot of Nike golfers out there, right? And I mean, yeah, there's so much, like you go to your local pro shop and there's so many like Nike polos. But I mean, I could see it. Like you said, it's been kind of, that's been the trend. I guess ever since they kind of left the equipment market, and maybe this is the year.
Well, what if like Tiger goes to Adidas?
Oh God.
Like, I feel like that would shake things up. Like, would you not want to buy Adidas?
Yeah, a little bit, especially since Adidas is under the TaylorMade family. Sort of makes sense for Tiger to be hitting TaylorMade clubs wearing Adidas golf. But Nike and Tiger is, it's like, it's historical.
Yeah. I can't imagine him wearing Adidas.
Yeah. With a golf ball, you know, falling into the cup at the Masters, hole 16 there, like the perfect Nike commercial.
Yeah. Iconic. Checks over stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's one of those things where maybe it's at the end of that lifetime, you know, Tiger just wants to do something else. And the fact that he went to FootJoy was sort of crazy to me, given that he literally had his own signature shoe, which I thought, okay, this should be catered exactly to what you need. But for some reason, he still preferred FootJoys. And then I just think like the major big box brands like Adidas, like Nike, they're sort of losing favor right now. For example, Dustin Johnson went to FootJoy too. And this year, starting at Kapalua, Xander Schauffele, who's an Adidas guy, he is now wearing Descente, which is this Japanese brand that Hideki wears. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, what the heck? I've seen that logo, but you know, it's not the Adidas logo. I don't know what it is. Maybe they just have less money to invest in their other players. But yeah, it's, I think the golf community has a sort of a disdain for Nike and Adidas.
Yeah, I mean, they're just those big old companies that have been around forever. And there's some new hotshot cool companies that are coming in. And I don't know, if other companies will pay you, why not? I feel like it's always been Nike and Adidas. I mean, they spend the most money, right? They have the most money for sports marketing. And so that's why so many athletes go there. But yeah, I like that there's some other brands popping up. Have you seen like DeWalt, the tool company? They're like sponsoring people's bags now. I think they just got, who'd they just get? They obviously have a, what's his face? Cantlay, who's like the worst golfer ever. but I think they just got Jason Day has now got a new set of tools from
Malbon DeWalt and
odd
DeWalt.
Pairing.
Really?
And then you obviously have like Tiger and his monster bag, which is really weird. But
yeah, that one's really funny.
Yeah, some weird stuff out there with brands. Lots of new things, which is cool.
Wow, that's interesting. You guys like always talk about like golf and construction because I work in construction and there's so much golf and construction. Like, hey, it's about time construction companies start cashing in.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense.
Okay, but what else in terms of equipment? There's been, well, Aaron mentioned this last week, but we talked about how the golf ball is rolling back. But you could still get the brand new Pro V ones for $55. And what is it, Aaron? The deal was you buy two, you get $10 off.
Yep, you get $5 off per dozen. So it would be $100 for two dozen instead of $110.
Dude, golf balls absolutely are still so insane. Expensive.
So expensive.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But hey, there's nothing like the feel of flushing a Pro V one.
So we say.
So when the golf ball is rolled back, then Zach, are you still going to be a Pro V1 type of guy or a TP5 type of guy?
Well, won't there just be like a rolled back version of those golf balls?
Yeah, there has to be.
Like, I mean, I think it'll just slowly become the norm, right? Because it's not bifurcated. So I think like once you go to the golf store to buy your golf balls, and that's just going to be the new thing on the rack. So I hear some people are stocking up on the old stuff, playing the old Pro Vs, because like, you know, maybe down 5 years from now, they'll be kind of rare. If you want that extra yardage, might make sense to take advantage of this deal Aaron just mentioned.
Oh yeah.
Just buy a ton of these golf balls, the 23 golf balls before the 24s come out, and they're actually, the rollback doesn't happen for a few years, right? But
yeah, but it's like wine. The older they are, the more it costs, right?
Yeah, this could be the best golf balls ever made could be like right now. Like the furthest you could ever hit a golf ball could be the current golf ball.
That is crazy to think about.
Current Top Flights.
Top Flight? Are they still around? Are they still making stuff?
Oh, I don't know.
Man.
I feel like they're all distance. It's just like a hard ball. You just whack it, goes far. It feels terrible.
So. Yeah.
No, but do you think, I just had a thought of like playing once they switch over. Do you think like every tournament, even casual tournaments, they're going to have like a ball check like all the time? Like, how are they going to enforce that? Could you just sneak in some, you know, 2024 Pro V1s?
Yeah, that's why I hate that it's not bifurcated. Like, it's annoying, but I feel like you kind of have to, at least for all the legit tournaments.
Yeah.
All the USGA tournaments, college tournaments. Maybe it doesn't make it to high school, but I don't know. Tossing Clubs Classic, are we checking golf balls in a few years?
it's like pine tar in baseball and like corked bats. There's just gonna be just like golf ball checks now.
Like after the round, if you go way too low.
Yeah.
That'd be so funny. But to seriously answer your question, Aaron, even now though, there are rules surrounding the golf ball where you have to play the same ball. Like Pro V1 is different from Pro V1X, and it has to be from the same model year as well. Otherwise, there's a penalty associated with that. So I'm sure they're going to have some marking or some lettering to distinguish the, you know, the new ball from the old ball.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like there's some well-known non-conforming balls that you see every once in a while, and I'm sure it's, you know, pretty obvious if someone's playing it.
Dude, that's so funny for the Tossing Clubs Classic. Maybe one of the winners played those balls, man. Gosh, you never checked. Yeah.
The long drive contest winner.
Yeah. Okay, we got a few years to come up with rules for that.
Let's see, what else? So this is the turn of the new year, and something that we like to do is make predictions and just give hot takes that no one really checks on later in the year, and there's really no accountability, but it's fun to provide hot takes. So we are recording this after the first round of the Century, no longer known as the Tournament of Champions, because it's not just champions playing in this tournament anymore. It's just called the Century Tournament, which I think is sort of a bummer, loses some of its character. But so we've seen some people go really, really low. So I'm thinking about Sahith Tagala, Colin Morikawa, you know, Hovland's going low, which you sort of expected.
Hobby.
But, you know, how well does this translate to success in future events and even the majors? So, you know, the first thing we'll start off is, guys, the Masters, you know, another year of not getting tickets, but another year of, you know, immense hype. It'll be the first time when we'll see John Rahm, which is sort of wild to say. But, you know, any hot takes for the Masters this year?
I'm all in on Victor Hovland at the Masters this entire year. I know, like, I picked him so many times last year to win a major, but I think he actually breaks through this year. And this is definitely like a, I'd say there's definitely some other folks that are making this pick, but it just makes a ton of sense. Like, he won the Tour Championship last year. He was seventh at the Masters. He was so close at the PGA Championship. He finished second. He was top 20 at the other two majors. And I just feel like he's rounded into form at the right time. Like, he had a year of close calls where he got the experience but didn't quite break through. And it just feels like a Hovland year. So I have him winning a major. I don't know if I like him for the Masters. It's tough to predict which major, but I just think he wins a major this year.
Yeah, he deserves a major. He's probably right now the most elite out of those four phenoms, you know, Morikawa, Matthew Wolf, John Suh,
wait, who are we calling phenoms now?
Yeah, dude, those were like the four people out of college that were like about to rule golf.
Oh, I got it. From a few years back, I was like, damn, Matthew Wolf's still a phenom?
No, but Hovland, he's definitely, I put him a tier above Morikawa right now, right? He just strikes the ball like insanely well. And with his new chipping motion, pitching motion, he's a definitely better short game player than Morikawa. I think he'll get a major, but I don't know if it's the Masters. Yeah, because I don't think he's historically done well there. I'm thinking
seventh last
more,
year, bro. That's not bad.
Yeah, T7 last year.
Guys, the field for the Masters, it's like 40 people.
Yeah, he's got a great chance. doesn't have to compete against so many other players. Who's your pick?
Oh, man. Jeez, putting me on the spot. I want to see Morikawa win, get the Grand Slam. So it's either, you know, the Masters, or he's going to win the U.S. Open. And for some reason, I just don't think Morikawa is set up to do well in U.S. Opens because he's historically... hasn't done that well, but he finished T2 or T3 one year at the Masters behind Scheffler, right? So I'm a pick Morikawa.
I hope he has a bounce back year. I mean, obviously he played well today, but I just feel like he's due. He kind of sucked for a lot of last year and just like wasn't getting it done, and he's so talented. So hopefully 2024 is a good one.
Yeah, he started off first day at the Century hot. Maybe he comes out and wins the Century and just parlays that into a John Rahm-esque 2024.
Aaron, I'm gonna lead you a little bit on this prediction, but like, Rory, is he getting a major this year? Your favorite player?
No. Well, a major. Okay,
you got four chances.
I gotta say yes, but it's more hopeful probably at this point. Like, playing the odds, like, probably not. It's been what now, like
10 years?
10 years, yeah. He's always right there. It's like one of the times he has to hit. There's been a couple, like, freaking, it comes down to the last day, and you know, a couple more made putts. But I don't know. So yeah, I'll say yes. I'll say that the stats don't say that he would, but I'm gonna predict yes.
I actually think the stats favor a win. Like, I just feel like his last couple of years have actually been insane. Before that, yeah, he sucked. The stats from those years,
I guess I should
bad.
Say the history.
Yeah.
History doesn't say, but stats say that he will.
Yeah. There was this, over the last seven majors, if you exclude the Masters from 2023 when he sucked, he beat 993 out of 1,019 competitors. So he's basically beating everyone except for like the winner. He's finishing, you know, top five. He's like right there all the time, destroying the fields and just like getting, it just feels unlucky. Like, I don't know how he hasn't run into a win. So I actually love your prediction, Aaron. I think he does win this year.
Well, thanks for handing that one to me.
I hope he wins.
But my prediction for the Masters specifically, though, I was going to say Brooks, but I think I'm going to save Brooks maybe for another tournament. But I'm just going to go with defending champ John Rahm. I think with him going to live, it's not a given that he's going to be playing well. Who knows what his game's going to be like. But, I mean, he's proven that he can get it done at Augusta. And I think he'll be relaxed and... like a combination of relaxed, but also like having something to prove. And I think he'll get it done.
He's so good.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely missing Jon Rahm at Kapalua right now.
Yeah, but I agree. It's hard to not see him winning a major, and the Masters is definitely a good one for him.
I'm excited to see what the Masters dinner menu is.
Oh, yes. Probably some Spanish food, right?
Maybe. Or just like straight American.
Straight American? Where'd that come from?
Wait, he's a Spaniard, right?
Yeah, he's a Spaniard. Okay. I mean, that's a possibility, but also he went to like, where'd he go?
Arizona State.
Arizona, yeah. And I mean,
maybe the Bubba Watson menu repeat.
Yeah, it's another option. I don't know what he likes the most. We'll see.
All right. Yeah, I just checked my Morikawa take. Bro, Morikawa actually finished better at the US Open than he did at the Masters, but for some reason I just don't remember it like that. Did you guys feel like that? Like, I felt like Morikawa was close to winning the Masters, but it seems like he finished T4 at the US Open, but his best finish at the Masters was fifth.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't really have a memorable year for me, to be honest. I kind of remember him starting off hot and then fading. So, I don't know.
It could be because my memory's terrible, but from the US Open, I remember Wyndham, Rory, Ricky. I don't particularly remember Colin.
It's probably because that double hole out from Rory and Colin just for some reasons in my head. Maybe that's biasing my impression of it.
Dude, Frank, was that last year or the year before?
Dude, don't even ask me, man. It all blends together.
I think that was the year before, right?
It was the year before. It was.
We were talking about it on the last pod, and I brought that up as a highlight from 2023. And at some point, Zach is like, "I'm pretty sure that happened in 2022."
That's
funny. Easy for that to blend together.
Okay. The next two majors are at Valhalla, the PGA Championship, and Pinehurst number 2, the US Open.
Yes.
Okay, why yes?
Because this is the year you fall in love with Pinehurst number 2.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're such a hater, and it's going to be all over TV, and you're going to get to see all the cool shots and just the vibe of Pinehurst, and I think you're going to actually like it this year. That's my major prediction for the U.S. Open.
When I look at the course, it looks like a course with tall trees, and I don't know what else. I think aesthetically, it's just not my cup of tea, and that's probably because I haven't played there.
Like, you think everything just kind of looks the same? Is that what you're saying?
A little bit. Where are the scenic views? Where are the coastlines and the cliffs and the amazing shots like Pebble number 8, right? Or Kapalua number 18. Like, where's that signature hole? And maybe it definitely is just me, but it's hard to see as, you know, a viewer of golf courses, like what the signature hole would be.
You like Augusta, right? Augusta doesn't have any coastline.
Yeah, but Augusta has great flowers. It has great...
The azaleas. Yeah,
the azaleas are incredible. I think, you know, you got 12, 13, 14 at Augusta, which is incredible. And there's just, obviously, every year they show it on TV. So that helps too.
And they've got the theme song.
True. Jim Nance.
That slogan.
Yeah.
True.
I think the greatness in Pinehurst is in like all the little subtle, small, intricate design things about the golf courses and the greens and the undulation and like the roll-offs. And I think it's like a very difficult, fair test. And that's why like the purest golfer writer is like super into it. But yeah, to the casual golfer, it's kind of just a piece of grass in a forest. It isn't. Doesn't have the views that a Kapalua has like this week, but I think the golf course itself is like just like a really cool challenge. And I'm hoping the broadcast can kind of get that point across. and explain that to more people.
So what you're saying is this could be the year that Frank levels up from a casual golfer to a real golfer.
It's definitely possible.
This is the year.
It's like Bethpage. When I first started getting into golf, I checked out, the majors, Brooks Koepka. Who the fuck's Brooks Koepka, right? Like, I mispronounced his name. I didn't even know how to, like, say it. Like, where's Tiger Woods right now? And like, oh, wow, Tiger Woods has a monster bag. I remember specifically that. Like, what the hell happened? But Bethpage, it didn't seem like anything special until I played it. And then I thought it was absolutely incredible. So maybe part of it is just me having to be there and play it. But I'm sure having the context from these tournaments also help, right? Because to me, it's just, like you said, it's just a plot of land with a bunch of tall trees and bushes.
So Pinehurst trip? Is that what you're saying?
Ooh. We
do need to plan a trip this
year. Yeah.
We kind of bailed ourselves out on the, where were we going to go?
Minnesota trip.
Minnesota trip in favor of the Eastern Oregon trip or Central.
Didn't we talk about this with someone before, Pinehurst? How it's like sort of tough to get there?
Probably. But once you're there, it's like there's 8 courses or something ridiculous. And you could stay at Riggs' house.
Like,
you know, he bought an Airbnb on the side of the golf course and he like rents it out as this like golfer's heaven. The whole thing, I don't know if you guys saw this, it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. He lived at Pinehurst for like a month in the hotel, really? Played golf like every day and was like shooting content. And then there's this video of him leaving on like day 30 and he's walking out of the clubhouse and he's like shaking everyone's hand, waving goodbye. And he's like tearing up. He's like crying because he had like the most magnificent 30 days of his life living at Pinehurst, just being treated like a king, playing on these beautiful golf courses. And then he has to leave. But apparently it like did something because he bought a place on the property.
Wow. I remember we were talking to a guest, and they were saying it's like the Disneyland of like for golfers. And that sounds about right. The happiest place on earth for golfers.
Yeah, those golf meccas are amazing. Just so expensive.
Jeez. Man, well, we can definitely afford it, right, Zach? Because you're moving, you got a mortgage to pay now.
Yeah, we're going to have to select Bethpage again, like the cheapest top 100 public we could play.
Just an annual Bethpage trip.
Not down.
Dude, I'd be down. I freaking love New York, man. Queens. I love New York. Queens, I love Bethpage. Yeah, well, dude, that place was insane. I feel like, looking back, it was a great place to say. It was very economical, and it was, you know, in the midpoint between Bethpage and Manhattan. So
yeah, it was fun.
It worked
very
out.
Very memorable. Yeah. And the Ryder Cup's at Bethpage this year.
Yeah.
What better year to go?
Wait, next year, right? Wait,
or next President's year. Cup. Sorry, sorry.
Yeah, next year, yeah. President's Cup. Yeah. Well, next year, I'm totally down then. Totally down. Go to Bethpage. Check out the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. Like, we'd play it at, like, tournament conditions.
Yeah, I really want a rematch with that damn course.
Yeah, same. I feel like I still enjoyed it, but I feel like I would enjoy it even more, especially after Bethpage Red, which I think we all had a great time with too. And so it sort of like set us up for Black, and for some reason it just didn't show up at Black.
I want to go and play like all the courses.
Yeah. We should do that for Bethpage. And we should also look into Pinehurst because I'm sort of down to see what's all about. All right. And then let's get to the last major. It's the Open Championship at Royal Troon. Not going to lie, I think it's just because it's overseas. I know everyone overseas love that tournament. But, dude, when Brian Harman won, dude, what a mid-tournament, man. There was no drama at all. You could say for St. Andrews, yeah, that was like one of the best tournaments ever, sure, with Rory and Cameron Smith. But that's at St. Andrews. But, you know, you tell me, oh my gosh, Lynx Golf, it's the best thing ever. No, it's not. It's like the same shit again and again, dude. You just like Brian Harman won because he like putted well. I mean, I didn't see anything crazy about it.
That was a bummer because it was like the first major in a very long time that you didn't have a superstar winning, like a huge name. And so, yeah, it felt like a letdown, even though he played incredibly well.
Yeah, but if you switch his name with Tiger Woods, it would have been sick. But because it was Brian Harman, well, at least the world guy know Brian Harman. You know, he went to the Ryder Cup, and now I have a bet on him to go under 69 tomorrow. So, so it's a win-win, I guess.
I think he played well today, too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Maybe repeat. The Brian Harman reef. What if he gets? I mean, if he gets another major, he's got as many as what? Colin.
Yeah, he has one, right? Colin has two. Victor has zero. Yeah, and I'm looking at the history. Right before Brian Harman, it was Colin Morikawa. I honestly don't remember anything from that tournament. And then it was Shane Lowry, and then Francesco Molinari. So it's pretty cool. I see why there's an overseas appeal, but for me, it's just...
The time zone makes it tough, especially for us on the West Coast, because it's like hard to watch it. I feel like it was all on TV when we were awake, it would be so much more interesting.
It's also like, but... do you think, like, Zach, we were talking about the Ryder Cup and how the Europeans are able to like pick courses that set up better for European, like certain types of golfers that they have on their team. Like the Open's always like a linksy course, and that's not like what the PGA Tour pros are playing, you know, week in and week out necessarily. Like, do you think maybe that is what kind of throws more like parity into it for some of the overseas guys?
I think so. I mean, I think it impacts some players more than others. I feel like I was about to call out Colin, but he won there overseas. So that's not a good example. But I feel like there's definitely some golfers that just play better on certain courses. Like Max Homa dominates on the West Coast. I feel like he just plays so well during the West Coast swing. He like played at Cal. He like grew up on or played a ton of golf on the West Coast. So he plays well there. And I feel like, yeah, you go overseas and you're just, it just feels weird. You're not comfortable. Time zone's different. You might not be used to the wind. Might hit the ball too high. So I think it's definitely a good point. Sometimes it's a bit hard to say which players have the get, you know, affected the most, but
yeah, it's hard to say because also Brian Harman is from America, but I mean,
yeah, I think like Cam Smith, like an Aussie, I guess that's outside of America, but we haven't really seen the locals.
Dude,
like Tommy Fleetwood, guy can't win a tournament. Even though he's a baller, he's like super good.
That, yeah,
just that's like not good
actually
enough.
Gonna be my prediction for winning this year. I was gonna go Rory, but we already talked about him.
Ooh.
I think, man, Fleetwood was kind of up there. He was playing really good golf in major season. I think British Open last year he finished T10. The U.S. Open, he finished T5. Got the overseas bias.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, Tommy's due.
I hope so.
Okay. All right. It was bothering me, but I can finally figure out why the Open was disappointing. It's like you said, Zach. We didn't watch it, and there wasn't a moment that defined it for me. Like, if I think about the Masters last year, it's like Brooks Koepka and John Rahm just waiting like super furiously behind Patrick Cantlay, right? I thought, you know, I remember that for sure. At the PGA, it's like Victor Hovland, you know, doing so well and then just getting boned by a lie on 17, or was that 18? And then for the US Open, it was like Ricky Fowler and Wyndham Clark. But for the Open Championship, I like literally cannot tell you one shot. Except for Justin Thomas.
You know why? I just figured out why. That was my wedding weekend.
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't watch any of that tournament. And you guys were at the same wedding. Yeah. Like, we were busy for a lot of the weekend. So that played into it, too.
Yeah. Half of us didn't even have electricity all weekend.
It's on your phone trying to find the Wi-Fi that's non-existent.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Before we close, I feel like we need to do a Tiger prediction. If anyone wants to kick us off, like he probably plays what, 5 to 7 tournaments, plays the majors, maybe a couple others, but like, do you guys think he wins? Do you think he makes cuts? Where do you think he fares?
I think I'll go first. I think he'll make a couple cuts, but I don't think he wins the tournament. I don't know what the odds are. I don't know what, like, you know, Vegas thinks. But I mean, he just looks like he's just getting older and older, and all the injuries and everything. He just looks like he can't compete with the young guys out there. And, you know, he's got his son coming up now in competitive golf, and there's so many, he's got the TGL. There's so many other things.
TGL.
Going on. or I guess not TGL anymore until the next year. But I don't know. It just feels like it's not the same Tiger that we had all those years. And I just don't think any amount of mental fortitude can get him a win.
You see how yacht he is, though? Like, he's a unit, man. Like, from like, people say you gotta hit the ball far. Well, he's what, 48? He can hit the ball damn far with those fucking muscles, man.
But can he walk 18 holes?
Like, I think it, like, the question is just, can he stay healthy? Can he even, like, finish 7 tournaments? Which is, it's tough. I feel like this is probably the best shot he's had in the few years. He's looked pretty rough the last few, but I think I'm with you there, Aaron. I just, there's no shot he wins anything, but I hope he does well. I hope he contends. Him contending on Sunday at a Masters, man, the viewership on that would be so insane. Like, he still is the only player that moves the needle, like, an insane, like, Scottie Scheffler can't do that. Scottie Scheffler can't get you to, like, stop whatever you're doing and turn on a TV. So I hope he does well.
Yeah, I think the 2019 Masters, like, I didn't really get it because I didn't follow golf at the time, but I understand why it's so big now. But there are some guesses of the next time he'll play. And a lot of people say he'll be in February at the Genesis Invitational, which is his tournament. He is a host there. And then after that, it's the Players. And then it's the 4 majors. Those are, like, the best guesses, which I think makes a lot of sense. Dude, yeah, he's not going to play well, man. He's not going to play well. It's just Father Time, man. But for the Thursdays and Fridays that he does play, dude, I'm going to be turning on that feature group for sure to be watching him.
Yeah, it might be last opportunities for...
I feel like there'll be a good amount of tournaments that he makes the cut and then is just kind of, you know, not contending, but he's playing the weekend.
Yeah, even that's an achievement.
Yeah.
All right, but 2024, you know, I think what we should do at the end of this year is to revisit these clips and just see how wrong we were and just, you know, evaluate. Dang, Tiger Woods, he actually, like, withdrew from every single tournament he played. Like,
or he actually won the Masters.
Exactly. Wide range of outcomes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be fun. And to everyone listening, thanks again. And we hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, and we'll be back again next week.